Kids tell me I sound just like James, so I don't know if that's good or bad here. Hopefully it's good. So thanks for having us in. If you would pray for James today. I was praying for Pastor James this morning as he's helping in another church today. And he said, he called me the other day, "Can you preach two messages?" And I'm like, "Sure." It's been a while. I was in Idaho for about 10 years. We lived out there for 9, but the whole process was about 10 years. And God taught us a lot. And Idaho's a different place. If you've never been out west, I'm sure Alberta is similar in some of the personalities and different things. So we learned a lot, and tell you what, your trust has to be in the Lord and Him alone. And so we're very thankful for the opportunity that we have to come up. We're leaving our kids up here for a couple weeks. Sarah, she's invited the dogs and everything, and I'm like, "Are you sure?" And she's like, "I got it." And I'm like, "Okay, here we come." So we just showed up with 7 people and 2 dogs yesterday. And so the 2 little ones are going to be staying with Sarah and James, and Mom will be up here too. And my wife and I and the 2 older boys are going to be in El Salvador for a few days, 9 days total. So pray for us. Pray for safety. We're just asking God to give us some direction and guidance, and we want His name to be honored and glorified through our lives. So this morning, I'd like us to turn to the book of John. Young people, if you're not married, I'm going to say this. Find a wife that is going to follow the Lord. And I'm very thankful for my wife. She's a blessing to me. She says, "Wherever God wants us to go, I'll go." So, okay. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for my wife. I had to mention her because I didn't mention her. And she's a blessing and encouragement to me. John chapter 14, the title of the message, very simply, is this: Believe in God. Believe in God. John chapter 14, we'll start reading in verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, yet a little while more, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to bless this text as we look into it. Lord, I pray that you would just be honored and glorified through what's said and done this morning. I pray that you'd be lifted up. Lord, we know that according to Scripture, you use the foolishness of preaching. Lord, I feel very inadequate this morning, and yet I know you want to use brokenness. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be people that would lift you up. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I would say that the day and age that we're living in is days of uncertainty. The tendency of humanity is to live in fear and hopelessness. However, for the believer, I believe our spirit should be completely different than those around us. They should see strong faith and understand that how we deal with trials, uncertainty, problems, and anxiety will reflect to others our view of God. And the passage in John 14 reveals to us God's intention on how we should deal with this spirit of anxiety. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. We see this in verse 27 as well. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If you go through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, you see these words a lot, fear not, fear not, fear not. Why? Because there's in us as humans the desire, I would say, or we are prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. We're prone to fear as well. I believe that. So often people fear, but God wants us to be fearless. Fearless. Now, we are to fear Him. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? We understand that wisdom doesn't come without fearing God. But what does He give us in this text that we can say, I don't need to be fearful, I don't need to live in anxiety? Well, the first thing that we see is a promise of a prepared place. A promise of a prepared place. I don't know how many have built a house here, but what do? You go out and you get blueprints and you have an architect put all this stuff together, and then the foundation is built, and soon you see the house being built and the studs going up, and you say, wow, something's happening here. Can we say that in our minds, that God is doing the same thing for us today? And now, I'm not saying that there's a mansion for each and every one of us, and I don't believe in prosperity gospel and that type of idea, but we have a God that loves us, who is actually preparing a place for us. We have a God that is concerned about our well-being, not just here on this earth, but for all eternity. And I'm thankful for a God that cares for us. Revelation chapter 21, if you look at that chapter, you'd see what heaven is like, how that the streets are made of transparent gold, and it goes through a whole list of things, and what a beautiful thing. But the most beautiful thing about heaven is Jesus. Amen. That's what I'm looking forward to, seeing Him face to face. And the Bible tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And one of the first things that Christ mentions here as a point of comfort is something eternal. And I think this is often the case in humanity. We go through a time of struggle or pain or suffering in our life or temptation, whatever it may be, and we find ourselves going to the wrong sources for comfort. Hey, I need to run to mom and dad, or I need to run to somebody to help me along in my life. The first person we should run to is the Lord. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Do I do this all the time in my life, and do you do that all the time in your life? Probably not, because we're human. And the Bible, the psalmist tells us that the Creator knows our frame, that we are but dust. We're just dust. And we are prone to say, why worry when you can pray, is a song, but I find myself, and probably we found ourselves here, why pray when you can worry, right? I like to worry. People love to worry, and they love to have worry in their life, and it's part of life. And God doesn't want you to dwell on this temporal place. The first thing he says, let not your heart be troubled in my Father's house. Not here on this earth, in my Father's house. Let's think about things eternal. Where things don't pass away. Let's think about the eternal, where he's preparing a place for me. Understand that our hope comes from the eternal, not the temporal. A lot of people find themselves placing their trust in a job, and then what happens? They lose their job. And they're all down in the dumps, and they say, well, what happened? My faith is not in a position. My faith is in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'm not going to trust in myself, and when I do, I fail because I'm flesh. In Matthew chapter 6, the Bible goes through an interesting topic here as Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Matthew chapter 6, down in verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I think that it's important for us to understand this. If our treasure is in the temporal, we're missing out on eternal blessings. Not your salvation, but you're missing out on the ability to lay the crowns at the Savior's feet. And I don't want to get to heaven one day and be saved yet so as by fire. And I know that I'm only there by the grace of Jesus Christ and by his mercy and his love. But every single person in this room should desire to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Our hope is in the eternal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Understand, our hope is in the eternal. Christ points out also that an anxious heart is an expression of our faithlessness. He says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. He's saying, he's basically going through a little bit of doctrine with his disciples here. He tells them in John chapter 14, ye believe in God, believe also in me. If you see through Christ's ministry, he never says that he shouldn't be accepting deity, because he was God in the flesh, incarnate, God with man. And he explains to the people here, believe in me. And God throughout Scripture tells us, believe in him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I think it's important for us to understand that we can please or displease God. I think Christianity so often teaches that you just live the way you want to live and there are no repercussions for your actions, where the Bible very clearly tells us you reap what you sow. If you live according to the flesh, you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And I believe it's so important for the Christian today, because we're in a day where the idea of living a biblical life is even scoffed by Christians. Now, God wants us to be different. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. So God says, if we're going to live a life of faith, it's going to be a life dependent on Christ. Therefore, we have to walk in the Spirit. Every single day, Paul says, I die daily. And he also tells us in the book of Romans, the good that I would, that I do not, the evil that I would not, that I do. He says, I'm flesh. That's why I have to die daily. I have to give it over to the Lord every single day, because I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Somebody says, I'm a pretty good person. Not in your flesh. Now, in Christ's righteousness, live through us. His righteousness given to us, and us living in accordance to his righteousness. You know what happens? He's seen through us. We're a reflection of him. We're like the moon that reflects the sun. And that's what I know in two different passages. Jesus Christ is called the light of the world. And then we are also called the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So God says, Jesus is the light, he's the sun, but you're to reflect that light to others around us. How do we do that? Well, it takes faith. It takes a life of faith. We can't do it in our own strength. The promise of a prepared place. We have to get our eyes focused on the eternal, not just the here and now. I have a work to go to. I have this to do. I have this to do. And we find ourselves not looking towards things that never perish. A soul is still important to the Lord. We can't lose that in our lives. We have to understand that our hope comes from him. Promise also of a perfect path. I'm glad God doesn't say, hey, I want you to walk down this path. You say, well, what do I need to do? Well, I'm not going to tell you. You figure it out on your own. That's not the God that we serve. When God tells us instructions, he always tells us how to get it done. We don't serve a God that sits up in heaven with a hammer and bonks us on the head when we do wrong and we don't go down the right path. We serve a God who may chasten us, but the chastening is always to bring us back to the path that he desires us to be on so we don't hurt ourselves. The sheep have a shepherd so that the sheep don't wander off the cliff. We have a God that loves us and cares for us, a promise of a perfect path. Back in our text in John chapter 14, verses 4 through 6. What time do I need to be done here? 11? 10:45? Okay. The first lady has spoken. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. John chapter 14. Verses 4 through 6, it says, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way, a perfect path. There's a lot of paths. I've witnessed to people, and they'll use the idea of, heaven is like the hub of a wheel, and there's several different spokes that lead to the hub of the wheel. And I had to look at them and say, no, Jesus says in Scripture that he's the way. He's the way. There's no other way but Christ. And he's the perfect way. There's a perfect path. In Psalm 23, it says, he leads me besides still waters. And when we get anxious in our life, when we get feeling sorry for ourselves, or we get burdened with the cares of this world, what does God want us to do? Get away. Be led by that still small voice, by that streams of living water. Why? Because we need it for the refreshment of our souls. You can't live too long without understanding this. As a Christian, you got to get alone with God. Just him and you. Whatever time that needs to happen. On Mondays, that's when it can happen for me, because that's my day off of work, Sundays and Mondays, and the kids aren't around. Because it's hard to spend extra time when there's a lot of noise, at least for me. It's hard. Maybe people are better than they plug their ears or something. But my kids are very loud. No, he's shaking his head no. But they're a blessing and they're a joy. But I tell you, it's important for us to go down that perfect path that God leads us in and to spend time with him. And Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life, but he's also the way to a victorious Christian life. In John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. John chapter 10, just a few pages back, in verses 7 through 10, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly." See, God wants us to have a victorious, abundant Christian life. I feel bad for Christians when we get in the mentality of thinking, I'm just tarrying until the Lord comes, and we get our heads down and we look at all the things around us happening in the world and we get discouraged and we get disheartened. And God says, I'm come that you can have an abundant life. Not just to have your soul saved, but that you can have an abundant life on this earth and that God's name would be lifted up through your life. See, it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about lifting him up. And the fallacy that we have found ourselves in as Bible-believing Christians is lifting up man instead of lifting up God. Men fall. Men fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the door. He's the shepherd. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus has the answers to every one of our needs in our life. He is the way, the perfect way. Are you trusting in the perfect way? Man, if I run out here and I do this, this will be what I need in my life. There was an example given. Have you ever seen the horse at the side of the fence? And he's got a green pasture all behind him, but he's reaching his neck over to get that little piece of brown grass on the other side. And I think sometimes I can find myself reaching out to the brown grass of the world for the answers to my needs in life when Jesus says, no, I'm the perfect path. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And the truth is that people can be saved and yet revert back to the old way of thinking. And this brings undue stress and pressure that God did not intend for us to carry. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." And Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, how do we take care of this pressure and these anxieties that come into our life? He tells us not to be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And what does he do? He says, "The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus." And then he tells us how to do this, thinking on the right things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And my mind seems to be straying to the wrong type of things when I'm full of stress and anxiety. I can tell you this, I'm not thinking about the perfect path. I'm thinking about the troubles that I'm going through. I'm thinking about, oh, why didn't this happen in my life the way it should? Or why did this happen? And God's saying this, no, get your mind back on me. And I can give you what you need. There's also a promise not only of a perfect path and a prepared place, but a powerful person. In verses 7 through 9 of John chapter 14, there's a promise of a powerful person. It says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? He's saying, I and my Father are one, basically. We believe in Jehovah God, but Jesus Christ is a part of that Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead that's there for every single person on this earth that will come to him and will cast their burdens and their cares and their sin upon him. Can you imagine this, that Jesus Christ on the cross took every sin upon himself? The Bible says this, the language is so unique. He became sin for us. The very essence of sin was placed upon Jesus Christ on that cross, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him and through him. I tell you, Jesus Christ is powerful. When he rose up from the grave, what happened? Those guards fell down as if they were dead. The power of a risen Lord, a risen Savior. Jesus is not in the grave, folks. He's still alive. He's still working in hearts. And I want to be an encouragement to you today, wherever you're at. It could be in America. It can be in Canada. It can be in El Salvador. It can be in any places in the many countries in Africa. God is still at work today. And we can't get to the point where we're saying, what's happening? God doesn't seem to be working. It's not God. He's still alive. There's a lot of distractions in our life today. I know it. It was funny, on the way here to Canada, we didn't know we have Verizon, but we didn't know if we had service. And we were interested in a couple things. And we're like, in a matter of 3 or 4 minutes, we should ask Google. We should ask Google. We should ask Google. And it's like, we depend on this stuff a lot, don't we? And the truth of the matter is, how much do we depend on God? How much are we trusting him? How much are we going to him with questions? He's a powerful person. There was doubt that it was expressed. Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Poor Thomas, he gets a lot put on him, doesn't he? But I see a lot of me in Thomas. And you would probably say the same thing. There's probably a lot of you in Thomas, right? We can say, oh, I don't see it. I just don't see it. In John chapter 20, verses 25 through 27, he says very emphatically to the disciples, if I can't put my hand in his hands, and if I can't put my hand in his side, then I'm not going to believe in him. And what did Jesus have to do? He held out his hand and he fell down and said, my Lord and my God. I'm so thankful for a God who doesn't say, oh, you see, you didn't trust in me, and now I got to punish you. We got a God who is merciful, loving, caring, not because of me, in spite of me. He expressed this doubt. Boy, have I questioned God. Can you do it? Can you really? The one who created the world with the words of his mouth, the one who breathed life into dust, the one who made woman out of the rib of a man, the one who hung the stars into space, can't do it? Then I also want to see deity defended. He explains that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He expresses his power as God incarnate. I am God. Great is the mystery of godliness, right? God was manifest in the flesh. That means he came down to humanity. He showed himself to us. I'm thankful for a God who doesn't say, just believe in me, but you'll never see me. Man, we have seen God, haven't we? His salvation is so great. His care is so immense. His mercy is boundless. His grace is sufficient. And yet we say, really? Can you do it? It was doubt expressed, but he defended himself and showed the people that he is God. And then he departs with hope. If you go down to verses 16 through 18, speaking to his disciples here, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What a blessing. That we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God with us. Now, Jesus Christ was called Emmanuel, God with us, but we have the Holy Spirit who indwells us and who fills us and who challenges us with that still small voice or that voice of conviction, whatever it may be at the time that God desires to speak to us. He uses his word to guide us back to him. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I've failed God. I've let God down. And yet, I felt the arms of a loving Savior wrap around me. I felt the closeness of the Holy Spirit in spite of me. We have that earnest of the inheritance, the down payment. Jesus says, you're going to be with me one day, but right now, I'm sending myself to you through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead who lives in each and every believer. And how we can quench him? Through unbelief, through known sin, through desiring to live in accordance to the flesh. We can quench him and we can grieve him. But I'm thankful for his comfort in spite of me, in spite of you. God says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit is there to wrap his arms around us and bring us back to him. You say, I'm living a life, I tell you what, I've got to be careful how I say this. I don't want to say this in a wrong way. Working in ministry can make you a cynical person, okay? And not about the people so much, but about other pastors and different things that happen. And you find out that, hey, everybody's not perfect. And you say, well, that's common knowledge, but as you desire to live for the Lord, your intentions are pure, your motivations are pure. You try to live for the Lord, and you find yourself getting... Do they really believe what they're saying? I found myself there. And you kind of have that look on your face when somebody says something, you're like, yeah, I know you know. And yet I know I can run to God, who knows me, and he still cares, and he still loves, and he still gives compassion. And the words of God are so true that we're to even get to the point where we're to love our enemies, do good to them that despitefully use us and persecute us and say all manner of evil against you falsely. You know what you're supposed to do? Love that person. Now you say, that's not possible. Exactly. Not in your strength, not in my strength, but through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Love covers a multitude of sins. Brother Kevin and I were just talking about that. Now, we don't condone sin. What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. Romans 6, 1 and 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But I do believe that God wants us to be full of empathy, full of compassion, full of concern for people. And you say, well, I'm sick of people. I've talked to somebody recently. I'm sick of people, is what the person said. You know what? People are probably sick of me, you know. That's okay. We get there. But I'm telling you this. We have a comforter who wants us to cast on him the care, the cynicism, the critical spirit that we might contain and say, God, it's all yours because I know your Holy Spirit has been so good to me. Would you believe God this morning? Simple message. I'm not a long preacher. Would you believe God? He's got a place for you. He's preparing it. He's got a person who comforts you and guides you and directs you, the Holy Spirit. He's got that perfect path. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I would say this. Believing in God never gives up on people. Don't give up on anybody. Because Paul said it. I'm humbled because I know that I have to take thought of this because I could be a castaway. Were it not for the grace and mercy of God, that's where I'd be. And we still live with a God that can change people. Don't ever think God's done changing people. He can change people. He can change me. He can change you. He can change people that you would say, they're the worst of sinners. And God can do his work. We just have to believe him. Would you believe the Lord this morning? With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Persaunt to come on up and do as he desires.
In the red book? 252 in the red. God spoke to your heart this morning, the altar.